Good morning, beloved. God bless you today in Jesus' name. Thank God that He sent Jesus to crucify our life so that we would have a chance to be saved. It's vitally important that we understand it was to give us a chance. It doesn't guarantee anything. It was to give us a chance to be saved. Even the world's favorite scripture, out of context, of course, but they say God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have the everlasting life of God. The perpetual Zoe should have the life of Jesus rather than their own. That's what the whole chapter is about. Nicodemus, you've got to have a new life. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a life other than your own. But the scripture says that God did this so that those who believe should not perish. It doesn't say so that those who believe would not perish. It says should not. And friend, oh goodness, the more I get away from the modern teachings in the church and just get in the Word of God and stay there and pray and seek the Lord, the more I see how deeply deceived and twisted that we have made, we, all of us to some extent, have made the Word of God. And it's terrifying to me to see it and to understand it. And I've deeply repented. So many things God has shown me have been wonderful things, but then my flesh and the false teachings I've heard have tainted them in the past. And I've realized how the enemy tricked me in different ways. Let me give you an example. The Bible says in Romans 7, which I've taught many, many times, and I tweaked it. I realize that more and more now. I tweaked it. What does tweak mean? I twisted it just a little bit. And by doing so, I opened the door to be able to sin without feeling any guilt or condemnation. And what I did is I taught Romans 7, where Paul said that he delighted in the law of God in his inner man. He loved God. He loved the law of God. He wanted to be righteous with all of his inner being. He wanted to be righteous. But there was sin in the members of his body, and it was such a tormenting place for him to be. And so he testified in Romans 7 that because his inner man was genuinely righteous and passionate for God's law and for God's truth, and that the sin dwelling in his members was not actually him. It wasn't actually him doing it, but it was the sin of the flesh that he hated. And he hated the bondage, and he hated the battle, and he hated the struggle. And then he says in Romans 8:1, the end of Romans 7, very important, we can't miss that. He says, who can set me free from this? Who can set me free from wanting righteousness with all of my being on the inside and not being able to truly walk in it because the sin in the members of my body? Who can set me free from this? And then he said, thank God through Jesus Christ. And he goes into Romans 8. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And friend, I misread that many times, and I understood many powerful things, and taught them as well, putting to death the members of the body and so forth in Romans 8. But I allowed a twist on the scripture to enable me to actually sin without feeling guilt, without feeling bad. I thought that's somewhat what he was saying. And so I taught, when we sin, it's not us sinning, it's the flesh. And if we're born again in our spirit, we can't sin in our spirit. And there's some truth to that. But that's not what Paul was saying. Paul was not saying that when we sin, we don't have to feel bad, or we don't have to have guilt, or we don't have to have shame. He wasn't saying that at all. What he's actually saying is, a true born-again person delights in God's law, in His righteousness, and His truth, in their inner man. They want so bad to be pure. They want so bad to be free from the flesh and free from the iniquity that's in the flesh. But they can't do it on their own, no matter how hard they try. The law cannot set them free. Trying to obey commandments can't set them free. You've got to understand this situation. This is not a Christian who's looking at pornography and saying, well, that's not really me. This is not a Christian who's committing all kinds of sins and saying, well, that's not really me doing it, so I don't have to feel bad about it. Oh my God, forgive me, forgive us. Because we've allowed things like this to creep into our lives that are such deep, deep, deep deception. What Paul's saying is, the law didn't have the power. It didn't have the power to deliver him from the flesh. But the cross does have the power to deliver us from the flesh. Nowhere in Romans 8, when he's explaining the way to be free, does he insinuate in any way, shape, or form that we can sin without guilt, that we can sin without shame now, because our inner man is righteous, and when we're sinning, it's not really us. That is such a deep, 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 dark lie. It's deception. It's not true. And when we really begin to study the Word of God, we find out that all is an important word, all who truly hope in Jesus Christ purify themselves even as He is pure. And the only way we can really know who's genuinely born again in their spirit, who genuinely is hungry for the righteousness and the truth of God, is by if we continue to sin or not. It's the only way. And there's actually teachings all in the body of Christ. The Bible said in the last days, many, many false prophets will arise, which will result in many standing before the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? And Jesus will look at them and say, you're a worker of lawlessness. I don't know you. And He will turn them away. Friend, this is absolutely true. It's absolutely going to happen. And yet, where are all the false prophets? And where are all these people who are deceived? If the modern church is truly saved for the most part, if all these things we're believing are true, they're not true. Most of what we're believing is a twist on what is true. It is never, never true that we can now sin without guilt, without shame, without feelings of condemnation. It is not true. Romans 7 and 8 is not teaching that you can sin now without condemnation. Not even close. It's teaching that in Christ, if we walk after the Spirit, He gives us the true power over sin. He gives us dominion over it, where it used to have dominion over us, where we did not used to be able to stop it. Now, by the grace of God, we can, if we look to Him continually, believing what He accomplished. By the Spirit, He will give us revelation and truth so that we can put to death the misdeeds of the body. If what we are believing makes us feel less guilty when we sin, then we have been deceived. We've been deceived. The whole reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil, which is clearly stated as sin. This is how we know who belongs to God and who belongs to the devil. Whoever continues to sin does not know God. They don't know Him. Even if they follow the law, even if they're trying to do what God said to do, but they keep failing over and over because the law has no power to deliver us from sin. Even if they follow the law, they don't know Jesus. They don't know him. The only evidence that we truly know the life of righteousness is the manifestation of righteousness in our own temples. It's the only way. Am I saying that we have to perform perfectly for God to be saved? No, that's the law. But if we truly believe in Jesus, his righteousness will manifest, and we will purify ourselves, as the Bible said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit in the fear of the Lord, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. This is the word. All who have this hope in him purify themselves. Listen, Jesus didn't die so you can go to heaven. He died so you can believe in what he accomplished and be delivered from iniquity. And there's no way we can go to the kingdom of God without being delivered from iniquity. It doesn't mean we're no longer tempted. It doesn't mean that our flesh is purified. What it means is he died and crucified this sinful nature so that if we'll believe in what he accomplished and lay hold of it, then we will truly be free. We'll be free indeed, not free in doctrine, not free in thought, not saying in our head, well, it's no longer me sinning, and so we don't feel bad about it. We sit, there's actually people teaching these things. You don't feel bad about your sin. You have unmerited favor. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, you're in the grace and the favor of God. This is deep, 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 dark lies. It's deception, clearly deception. And it's sad that the only way I could really find out how much we are being deceived is through pain. It's through pain. It's through seeing the results of believing things that are tweaked. Finding out people I thought were Christians, my whole salvation, were not really Christians. They don't delight in God's law and their inner man. They have no desire for purity. No desire for righteousness. They just believe in God. They believe in the spiritual things. They love certain things of Christianity. They love rapture. They love good feelings. They love good music. They love friends. And they really don't have a desire inside for purity. They don't long for it. They don't purify themselves. All who have this hope. So they really do not have true hope in Jesus Christ. If they did, they would purify themselves. When I came to Christ, I came when I was a young boy, but when I really gave my life and turned over my whole life to Christ, I was 19 years old. And I remember all the way up until that time, many times I would pray, many times I'd ask God to forgive me for my sins, many times I'd sit down with preachers. I was locked up in juvenile detention center 7 different times, and I was locked up in rehab several times, and I would pray and I would ask God to help me and I'd ask God to forgive me, but I didn't want to stop sinning at all. I didn't delight truly in his righteousness. I just wanted out of pain. But when I was 19, I finally got to a place where I was sick and tired of my life. I woke up in vomit one day just from drinking and doing stupid stuff, and I was so miserable. And I finally surrendered. I finally said, God, I'm done with me. I'm done. And that's when the fire of God came inside of me, and I didn't want any sin anymore. I still struggled, for sure. I struggled. I struggled with lust. I struggled with different things. But I cried out to God for his freedom and for his deliverance. And whenever I would fall, I would weep. And whenever I'd fall, I'd turn to him and say, God, please forgive me and help me. And by his grace, he would help me, and I could learn how to get away from stuff. Now, at that time, I was a young believer. I didn't have a full revelation of what he accomplished at the cross. So I didn't know how to lay hold of some of the power that's available to truly be free, to truly walk in his life, where it's not such a horrendous battle and struggle. That's what the Apostle Paul was describing. He was describing the horrendous battle of someone who's born again in their spirit, but they're battling the flesh, they're battling the lust of the flesh, they're battling sin, and they can't win the battle. They're losing the battle. So he describes in Romans 7 and 8 that through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of life that is in Christ, we can and should and must win the battle. If we don't win the battle, we will die. It's what he's talking about. He's not talking about we no longer have to win the battle. He's not talking about we can relax now because Jesus paid for it. Oh my goodness. If we would just read the context, it's so hard to see the context because we deceive ourselves. With one little tweak, we pull one scripture out, well, it's no longer me who's sinning. And we use that to deceive our own self, to deceive ourselves and others, so that we don't feel bad about our sins and we keep doing them and we continue to do them. Until we can do them without any real guilt. It may be some deep feeling inside, like maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but we can actually deceive ourselves so much that we sear our conscience. And what that actually teaches in the Bible is that by deceiving ourselves, we no longer feel bad. We no longer think that we're in danger. When we're purposely sinning, this is why almost every modern American Christian now is looking at pornography, at least every now and then, many of them frequently. It's why modern Christians are doing all kinds, hanging out in bars, doing all kinds of crazy, watching filth constantly. Christians are absolutely no different than the world in every statistic. They get just as many abortions. They watch the same TV shows. They stream all the same filth. They do everything the world is doing, and they think that they're saved by grace. And they don't understand that to be saved by grace is real. It's indeed. It means we are delivered, healed, and set free by the true empowering grace of God, who gives us the victory over iniquity and over sin. If we would just read the Bible, if we would just meditate on the scriptures, we would see how deceived the world is. I'm terrified that the charismatic movement is nearly 100% deceived. It's amazing. My favorite music. I was listening to the quote testimony of one of the guys who leads it, and he is riddled with constant anxiety and panic attacks. He's heavily drugged. He has to take many medications to keep back the anxiety. Why? Because if you'll really listen to the teachings that are coming out of his church, they are false. They are twisted. They enable people to sin without feeling guilty and without feeling condemnation. They do not pursue holiness. They do not pursue purity. They do not purify themselves even as Christ is pure. They don't do it. And so they're singing all these wonderful feeling rock band sounding songs. I hate to even say that kind of stuff. I always have condemned, that's religion. I was wrong, friend. There is religion. Religion is trying to be good without genuine power, without genuine life, without understanding we're seated at his right hand, without understanding the life side of the cross. Religion is everybody's going to hell, but there's no life. There's no power of righteousness. There's no real power to save and deliver and heal. That's what religion is. But we've cast out all purity and holiness, and we call it religion. I mean, I've even seen preachers mock prayer. I saw a preacher recently preaching, saying, we don't return to God by prayer, we return to God with tithing. And I know the guy, and he doesn't pray. The only time he prays, like, over his food, he mocks it. Some other Christian was talking to him about meditating in the Word of God. He thought it was funny. He's like, meditate. Have you meditated in the Word lately? That's the way he said it, sarcastically. He thought it was funny, and mocks prayer and mocks spiritual fasting because he's been taught, and he believes that's religion. That's religion. Oh, I'm not religious. I got a relationship. And then I found out the preacher and his wife encouraging people of doing all kinds of ungodly things, unbelievable things. The preacher's wife encouraged another woman in the church whose daughter wanted to get breast enlargements at 18 years old. She encouraged the woman, go for it, more power to her. That's exactly her words. You know, this is the preacher's wife. I mean, man, you've got to know who you're following. You've got to know who you're following and who you're listening to. And man, I repent if I've misled anybody. I repent with all my heart. I repent. I believe everything I've said this year, 100%, 100%, I believe, is from the Lord. All these devotions I've been doing, they're from the Lord, but they are full of giving up our own life, full of true righteousness, where before I had many great, great revelations, but I was allowing the enemy to deceive me, and I wasn't giving the full message. I was talking about deep things, like when we sin, it's no longer us who's doing it, but sin, the dwelling in the members of our body. And many people take that and they run with it, and they feel like, I don't have to feel guilty anymore. And they quote Romans 8:1, okay, there's no condemnation anymore then. Amen. Jesus took care of this. Amen. And they don't keep reading. The whole chapter is how to be delivered whenever you really want righteousness, when you really want purity, and you can't obtain it because the flesh keeps getting you. There's things in the flesh that keep happening. So how in the world can we be free? How in the world can we walk in dominion over sin and not let it have dominion over us? Through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ is what makes us free from that condemnation. It's what makes us free from sin getting the best of us. If we walk after the Spirit, we can put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit. Through truth, through revelation, through understanding, we can abandon that and walk in true righteousness and resist temptation, and it flees. Resist and it flees. Resist and it flees. We don't resist by doing it and then quoting scriptures while we're doing it. That is a lie that teachers have taught. Just quote the scriptures while you're sinning, while you're looking at pornography. Just say, I'm the righteousness of God. Friend, it might make you stop it for a few seconds, but years later, you'll still be doing it, because that is not the truth. That is not the way to be free. The only way to be free is to purify ourselves as He is pure, to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and spirit in the fear of the Lord. The only way to be free is the way the Word says to be free. Now, let me close with this. This comes along with the revelation of the new covenant and how it works differently than the old. In the old, God said, do it, even though we couldn't do it. But in the new, He will write His word on our heart. He'll put His Spirit in us. He'll enable us to keep His will. He'll enable us to do what He wants to do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so He, in the new covenant, we believe what He accomplished. We confess what He accomplished. And we, until we see the power of that manifesting, we wait on the hope of righteousness through faith. We're not trying to produce righteousness. We're believing in the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. But friend, if we are sinning on purpose, without shame, without guilt, without tears, without battling with all of our being against it, something is wrong. Something deceived us. Jesus didn't come so that we can lose the battle and not feel bad about it. Jesus came so that we could win the battle all the time. And this is how we know, if we know Him and if we don't. If we continue to sin. Now, what is sin? Here's where people just really, oh my goodness. Paul said we don't judge people on the flesh anymore. because we believe all men died. We judge the spirit of a man. Many people are good people on the outside. They never cuss. They never do anything wrong on the outside. But on the inside, they're dead. They do not have the life of Jesus. There's no desire to purify themselves. I know some, for example, some of the best people I've ever met. You know, so good, so gentle, so kind, and their whole life is filled with all kinds of iniquity. They watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians all the time. Everything is about the flesh. And they have no conviction whatsoever of true holiness or true righteousness. Yet, if you put them beside most people, you would think they are the holiest person you've ever met. And then I know Christians who are truly battling, who are truly struggling. I've been one. I've seen many others who are truly going after God and want Him and get frustrated. And when they get really frustrated or angry, they may say a cuss word or something like that. And you look at them, you say, okay, that the good one is the one that doesn't say the bad word. And the bad one's the one that did say the bad word. And so we are deceived. We're deceived. Yes, we may sin at times. In our battle, we may sin at times. We may lose the battle in our own frustrations, our own discouragements. We may lose the battle at times. We may fall. But if we are truly righteous, friend, we will always get back up. There will always be true, genuine tears, true, genuine repentance, true, genuine turning away from the things that we did. If we are genuine, the good people, they never repent. They never have any genuine tears. They never get in God's word to really seek His will. They don't at all. And yet everybody thinks that they're good. It is unbelievable how deceived we've become in these last days, friend. I don't know how many people will be saved. I don't know. But it's scary to me. It's terrifying. We've been deceived. And may God help us and open our eyes, because, friend, time is short. It's wrapping up. And, man, we need to get real. We need to really get in the Word of God and get away from the darkness and the lies. Quit deceiving our own selves. We deceive ourselves. We see that we deceive ourselves. And then we say, well, whatever. And we move on into more deception. It's unbelievable. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen.